If you will this morning, open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. We'll be in Philippians chapter 4 this morning. C.S. Lewis once wrote, "He who has God and everything else has no more than he who has God alone." I love that quote. He who has God and everything else has no more than he who has God alone. When it comes down to it, the only thing we do need is God.
God, yes.
When we have everything in the world, it doesn't make us any better off if we don't have God. Yeah. So we all know, some better than others, that this life goes by really fast. That many of you are sitting here this morning thinking, "I never thought 70, 80 would ever get here." But it got here way quicker than you ever expected. And it gives you perspective as you look back on life of what really, truly matters. Because what has stayed true through the 70, 80 years you've been on this earth? Has it been in a car? Has it been in a job? Or has it been the Lord? What's carried you through the valleys? The Lord. Amen. Who has carried you through the good times? The Lord. Amen. And this week, for the most part, many of us are going to gather with family on Thursday. Get together, probably overeat. I mean, I know I will. But it'll be a day to commemorate thankfulness, a day of thanksgiving. As we reflect back over the year, some of us may think of much we could be thankful for. And then some of us may be looking back over the year and just be going, "Brother Austin, I'm going to be quite honest with you. The hardships I faced this year, the tragedies I faced this year, I can't see nothing good. How can I be thankful this Thursday? Better yet, how can I be thankful this morning after all I faced this year?" Whether 2025 brought us much or little to be thankful for, how do we approach this Thursday with the right attitude of thankfulness? How do we face tomorrow with the right attitude? Well, this morning we're going to look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 13. Because the key to being thankful is being content. Being content in the Lord. And you wonder, I wondered to myself this week, does contentness or thankfulness come first? It's like they feed off of one another. I'm content because I'm thankful for the Lord. And because I'm thankful for the Lord, I'm content. I'm like, which one was I first, content or thankful? And we go on all day about that. But the matter of the fact is, if you are content in the Lord, you are thankful for the Lord.
Yes.
So we're going to start in Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 10. "I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learnt in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learnt the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need." And many of you can say the next verse with me. "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." Let's pray. Lord, we pray, Lord, this morning that you be with us, Lord, as we open your word, Lord. And Lord, teach our hearts to be content in you. Teach our hearts to be thankful in you, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for the praises that were shared here this morning, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the hearts that were bold enough to ask for prayer this morning, Lord, to admit that we don't have it all together. That we are afraid of what tomorrow holds to an extent, Lord. But instead of letting that fear drive us away from you, Lord, we let it drive us towards you, Lord. Where you take that fear and you cast it out. Where you cast our anxieties out as we rest in you, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, we pray, Lord, this morning you be with the preaching of your word. And guard our hearts, Lord. And prepare our hearts for what you have us to hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so just a little refresher on the background of Philippians. Who remembers where Paul was at when he wrote this letter? He was in prison, sitting in a jail cell. But what do we often call the book of Philippians? The epistle of? Anybody know its nickname? What's the big theme in the Philippians? Thanksgiving, joy. We often nickname it the epistle of joy. And Paul was writing on joy. This passage on being content from a jail cell. And not an American padded jail cell that was fairly comfortable. More likely, he was probably in something like a hole in the ground. Probably not very sanitary. Not the place you would want to be. Not the place you'll be giving thanks from. Not a place where you'll be thinking about joy. More likely, a place you're thinking, how can I get out of this? And am I going to shut up when I get out of here? Or am I going to get risked getting thrown back in? But before Paul even got to this point of being in jail, Paul had constantly faced people trying to undermine his work, constantly trying to undermine what he was doing for the gospel, faced imprisonments, one of them lasting up to 2 years, was whipped, was beat, he was stoned. And so just a little translation for biblically stoned does not mean getting high. When you see stones in the Bible, it was getting hit with rocks. I know it's got a little bit different meaning now, but when you hear of it in the Bible, they literally would take him out and throw rocks at him. Yeah. And if you was here last week, that's how Stephen died. He was stoned. Paul was shipwrecked, snake bit. I mean, imagine if Paul had went to a doctor in today's time and got x-rays and all kind of scans. The doctor probably looked at him like, you hurt with every step, don't you? Every time he went to run, his whole body probably ached after all what he went through. But he did not let up on preaching the gospel. And what brings me even more comfort than the fact that the man who wrote this book about joy, about thankfulness, was guided by a God who's hurt just like us. That the one that inspired these words suffered, experienced his pain himself. That God is not some distant God that can't relate, but a God that relates very much. Hebrews 2:18, for because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Amen. And this morning, as we dive into the scriptures, I hope this morning you learn you can be content, you can be joyful, you can be hopeful, yes, despite what 2025 brought. Despite what 2026 is going to bring. Despite what the last decade has brought. Despite what the next decades will hold. That we can rejoice in the Lord. That we can do all this through Jesus Christ. Yes. But what I love about this paragraph we just read, it's almost like it's bracketed with the key to being content in all situations. Because it starts off with, I rejoiced in the Lord. When our joy is placed in the Lord, we can be content in all situations. And then it ends with Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. It is where we get that strength from. And then in the middle, we are told to be content in all situations. The keys to doing that are right here. The key to being content in all situations lies in the word of God. And I'm going to give you a heads up. I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures this morning, which I usually do, but I think it's probably more so than normal. But as I thought about Philippians 4:13, the source of our strength is the word. You don't need my opinion this morning to make it through what you went through this year. You don't need my opinion for what you're about to go through in this coming up year. You need the word of God. Because my opinions will fade. My words will fade. And one day you may forget about me. But the word of God will never fade. You would never forget the word of God. Amen. I pray I'm here for years and years to come. But we never know what tomorrow holds. But guess what? When I'm gone, when the spiritual leaders of this church are gone, this will still be here. The truth that this church is built on will still be here. The truth that took you through the dark nights will still be here. But we are to rejoice in the Lord. Paul says, I rejoiced in the Lord. Can it not be easy to misplace where our joy is at times? In the world we live in, it's easy to misplace our joy. Sometimes our joy can get placed in our finances. But guess what? Some years are filled with loss of income. You may lose a job. Sometimes it's filled with raising insurance costs, raising bill costs. If you're sitting down going, I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills this month because everything's going up. If I pay all my bills, how am I going to buy the groceries I need? Paul did not rejoice in his health. Because guess what? We don't always get that clear bill of health we want, do we? We don't always have that promise of long life. We know all too well that sometimes our life can end. That's just yesterday, a 17-year-old in Thomasville's life ended. Or you could live to be 80, 90, 100. But you don't never know. Listen, my heart breaks for the young people right now of Clark County and Wilcox County. Because it's been one after another lately, it seems, of young people dying. But we can't put a hope in a clear bill of health, a promise on a life. We can't put our joy in people. Because guess what? Sometimes people accept you. Sometimes they reject you. And then sometimes death takes people from us. We know these struggles all too well. We know how the idols of people, health and finances, if our joy is placed in them, how fragile that joy can be and how quick it can disappear. Which is why it's so vital that we rejoice in the Lord, that we place our hope in the Lord. Now, does this mean being content is going to be easy and painless? Pooh, by no means. It's going to be hard. It's going to be full of hardship. But through the pain, through the hardship, you will have your joy and your purpose and peace in God. And as I've said many times, you will see God redeem the pain. You'll know you don't suffer and go through pain just for nothing. But there's a purpose in the pain. You may not see it in the midst of the pain. You may not see it in this lifetime. But keep your eyes on God, and I promise you, in ways you can't imagine, he will redeem the pain.
Yes.
That's a testimony you have because of the pain.
Yes.
That's people who have heard the gospel that would not have heard the gospel unless you went through the valley. That's things about your character that prepared you for the next stage in life that would not have formed if you had not went through the valley. Because sometimes God lets you go through the hardship to prepare you for what's to come. That's a characteristic he wants to bring out in you. But for it to come out, you've got to go through the fire. You've got to be refined. But as we go through the lows, as we go through the highs of life, again, we must rest in the Word.
Yes.
Just a few scriptures hidden on the lows when finances fail us. Hebrews 13:5, keep your life free from love of money. And be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I mean, I don't think Hebrews 13:5 makes it any clearer to not find your contentness in money. I mean, couldn't say any clearer myself. But he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Your financial state does not dictate God's feelings for you. If it is, how could we go on the mission field to Guatemala, to the parts of Africa, and tell them God loves you? How could I have went to the slums of Guatemala where kids eating out of the trash can, tell them God loves them, if his love was dependent on his financial situation? It's not. Our love for God is based off of who he is. Let's admit it, we got it good here. Don't let it blind you. 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered, away from the faith and pierce themselves with many pangs. This morning, have you trusted the idol of money? Have you fallen for the love of money? Is there some hardships you found yourself in that were your own doing? Is there some situation you found yourself in because you chased the love of money? The love of things, of possessions. And now you're struggling to make ends meet because of your own bad decisions. I mean, doesn't that go for a lot of parts of life? Sometimes we get in a bad situation, we want to blame God. And the guy's just like, all right, Austin, sit down. Let's look at what you've done over the last year, the last couple of years. You're not in this situation because of me. You're in this situation because I allowed you to face the consequences of your dumb decisions. Thank God he doesn't shield us from our dumb decisions all the time. Or else we would never learn. We would abuse his grace all the time. Now, praise the Lord, sometimes he does show grace and covers up the consequences. But thank God he does let us learn from our mistakes. Because I'll admit, I'm one that's got to learn the hard way sometimes. And probably several of us could say the same thing. For seasons of your life that you look back over, it's like, you know what, if I just listened to that one scripture I read, I would have avoided a lot of hardship. Proverbs 13:11, wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it. And you can look at all kinds of scriptures that talk about the value of hard work, that talk about wealth. That's no shortcuts in life. Often when it seems too good to be true, it's usually too good to be true. Trust in the Lord. When the idol of health fails you, I think of the words of James 4:14. You do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Life goes by quickly. What are you doing with your dash? What are you doing? I love Crowder's song, Dash. For years, I used the illustration of Dash, but if you haven't heard Dash by Crowder, go listen to it. But life is a dash. On that tombstone, you can't control that first date. You can't control the day you came into this world. And you really can't control that last date. But you know what you do got control on that tombstone? That's a little line between those two dates. You got control of what you do on that dash. You've got control of what you're doing with the vapor that God gave you. Are you using that vapor for God's glory? Are you using that vapor to chase after pleasures of this world that disappear just as quick as a vapor? Or are you using that dash for the glory of God? I think of John 16:2. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you would think he is offering services to God. Again, you're not promised a long life. You're not promised a life of acceptance. For a matter of fact, if you look at Scripture, if you live for God, you're not going to live a life of acceptance. You are going to live a life where people reject you just because you believe in the Word of what is good, what is right, and it is true. And students, I know that's hard sometimes. I know that's very hard. My years in youth ministry, students that lived their faith out in the schools faced so much humiliation. Get a hard time for living the true faith. I'm going to tell you one thing. You won't regret it. Amen. It may be hard this week to go to school. Well, I don't know if you're going this week, but it may be hard this year to go to school. It may be hard in the months to come to go to school because of the rejection you get because of your faith. But I promise you one thing. You will not regret it. Amen. But if you cave to the peer pressure and live like the world, you will regret it. Live boldly for God. Yes. If people mock you for doing what's right, for living a good life, so be it. Be content in the Lord. Yes. And know that Scripture tells you rejection was going to come. And find peace in that. Find peace when you're rejected. Then I just think about when people fail us. Scripture says, as Galatians 1:10 come to mind. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Oh, I think about Psalm 147:3. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. I mean, Galatians comes to mind when I think about going back to the rejection of people. I can't live to please people. I can't preach to please people. I mean, if you don't minister to please people, I will lose my mind. If we live a life to please people, we will lose our minds. We will lose our souls. Put God first and live for his approval. But Psalm 147 comes to mind because we all lose people in this life. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Healing's a process. Dealing with the pain's a process. I mean, but God's there. He's there to heal the wounds. Think about the wounds on your body, though. Is that seasons where those wounds still hurt? Oh, yeah. And sometimes it comes out of nowhere. But God heals it. He helps you face another day. He helps you walk through the loss. He does not desert you. And praise the Lord that we can rejoice in him when we have a loved one that goes on to the Lord, that we know as a believer. We can rejoice on that testimony of the life they lived, how they used that dash well. What a blessing and an honor it is to celebrate those that go on before us that used the dash well. Remember to live your life in such a way when you leave this world that people can celebrate your dash. Well, yes, they will be heartbroken you're gone, but they have the peace of knowing where you're spending your eternity. And when they gather in this church and you lie at this front, they've got that peace of where you're at. And they reflect of how you used that dash and the hope of seeing you again one day. Rest in the Lord. Amen. Trust in the Lord. But I also think of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 14. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring him those who have fallen asleep. You have an eternal hope. Like we said at the beginning, you might not experience many lows this year, but it's just as important in the highs of life to still be joyful and content in the Lord. Because if you're not, guess what? When those lows hit, your world's going to shatter. Your world's going to crash and burn. It's important, even when things are going well, to keep our eyes on Christ. So when things are going financially well for you, I think of the words, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. This year, as things went well for you, how have you honored the Lord with your wealth? Really, if things went bad for you, how have you honored the Lord with your wealth? It is a good gift from God. What's in your bank account is a gift from God. The vehicle you drove here this morning is a gift from God. The house that you go to tonight is a gift from God. And how have you used it for his glory? When you go shopping for that new car, do you let your wants and desires guide it? Or do you ask the Lord to guide you to the car that will be used for his glory? When you buy that new car, it's your first prayer. Lord, this car is not mine. I pray, Lord, that you use these wheels to take me where the gospel needs to go. That, Lord, you let the people that needs to hear the gospel sit in the seat right here. That you let me use this for your glory, not for my glory, but for your glory. When you sit at that dinner table at night, when you buy that new dinner table, do you go, Lord, this is not my dinner table, but this is yours where conversations for the gospel are going to start. Lord, let me buy a dinner table with extra seats, not one that's just enough room for me and my family, but a table with extra room so we can invite people in comfortably to come eat and to fellowship and to hear about your goodness. How have you used the material things God has given you for his glory? This year, your health could have gone the whole year without giving you problems. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. This year, how have you used your health for God's glory? Whether it's been bad or good. Just this week, I saw a clip of David Ring's testimony. I don't know if any of you ever heard him share his story. It was a man that was called to evangelism that has cerebral palsy. And he tells his story. He says, I wake up in the middle of the night, and I just feel the Lord lay on my heart, I'm going to evangelism. He said, I'm like, Lord, I got cerebral palsy. Come again with that? Are you joking? But then he goes on to be an evangelist. And one of his most famous things he shared, he goes, I have cerebral palsy. What's your problem? As he's preaching to our church. And goes on later and says, don't whine, but shine. And I love that, don't whine, but shine. He says about how his whole body aches with every step he took. He's like, I'm up here, I can't even say Jesus right. And goes on and says, healthy men, healthy women, I have cerebral palsy. What's your problem? What's your excuse? What is your excuse this morning? You don't have one. If David Ring didn't have an excuse, you don't have an excuse. If you're breathing, you don't have an excuse. You have a purpose. You have a reason. You still have a voice to glorify God and to share of his goodness. What are you doing with the gift of breath in your lungs? You have a purpose. You have a reason. Your body is God's temple. And this life fills it with defects. Some of us have more defects in it than others. But it is still God's temple. He still has a reason. He still has a purpose. Yes. He will use those ups for his glory. He'll use those lows for his glory. He'll use the good times and the bad. He'll use you in the doctor's office. He'll use you in the gas station. He'll use you where you go. But you got to be obedient with the mouth he has given you. Yes. You must use that voice to glorify him. This year, people could have given you no problems. You could have got along well with folks. Don't forget where that favor came from. Genesis 39:21. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Daniel 1:9. And God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. The favor you got with people is not your doing. It is from God. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another and build one another up as you are doing. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. What are you doing with the relationships God blessed you with? How are you encouraging? How are you building up one another? How are you using the relationships God blessed you to be a part of? Or are you letting those relationships fade off into eternity, not with the first concern, with an eternal destination? I know this morning we covered a lot of scripture. I told you it was going to be more than normal. But again, Philippians 4:13, where does our strength come from? The Lord. Yes. None of our words, but his words. Amen. I'm going to leave you with 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Take those words with you into Thanksgiving. Take those words with you into tomorrow. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Rest in your weakness in the Lord. Stop trusting in your strength to make it through this life. You won't make it by your strength. You must make it by the Lord's strength. And just simply remember this Thursday, Thanksgiving is not a day on the calendar. It is a posture of the heart.
Yes.
That's what we need to remember. What is the posture of your heart? Or when you celebrate Thanksgiving this Thursday, are you a liar? If we're being quite honest, we're going to Thanksgiving not being thankful, celebrating it, making it out to be a liar. Rest in the promises of God this week. Rest in the promises of God in this lifetime. Because one day we will see the Word of God Himself face to face. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord, to just be in your house. Lord, we have many things in this life that will fail us. There's many things in this life that we can look to that will fail us, that will leave us without joy, that will leave us without strength. But you are the one thing in this life that will not fail us. You are the one person we can look to that will always give us strength, that will give us joy, that will give us peace. Help us rest in that. May not be easy some days. Some days it feels like the devil's doing all he can to keep us from doing that. But he can't keep us from your grace. Let us remember that. Let us boldly proclaim your word. Let us boldly call out to you, Lord. Lord, thank you, Lord, again, just for the ones that had the boldness this morning to ask for prayer, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the ones that had the boldness to share prayer needs, for the ones that were bold enough to share praise reports. Lord, let us grow more and more like you every single day, Lord. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you move during this time of invitation, Lord. And Lord, let us know that you don't stop moving just because the invitation song ends. That you move every hour, every second. Let us be obedient to that movement. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.